trespass upon the premises.
And so it wouldn't be consistent for us to suggest a concept of that.
What is your motion?
Judge Burns has moved that we amend 2B by deleting the words "what he reasonably believes to be," and so that it will read, "what he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent and attempt by the trespasser to commit arson." Is that right? All right, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And now, Carrie, do you have another motion?
Yes.
Second motion, reword 2 sub D. Provide that he may use diligence for the reasonably believed necessary the commission or the commissioner or intent to commit arson by the trespass.
You know what it says there?
Yeah. Well, it's badly worded, simply to specifically provide that the section is invoked either on the prevention of intent to commit arson or on the prevention of the commission of arson.
Well, how about prevention of commission of arson is an attempt to commit arson?
Well,
once he sets the house on fire,
would
this mean your what you want to do is, as we said, when he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent the trespasser from committing or attempting to commit arson.
Correct.
Can I ask you another, or can I ask you to accomplish the same question for the first question, what we all the requirements of section 1, just to say when he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent the commission from arson? Did you still have to trespass part of subsection 1?
So let me ask, why are we saying arson out of that phrase? That time, deadly force. Now that we include a force in the area of arson, why not burglary? He's about to steal my car. I can't use deadly force on that, but he's about to set fire to my tree, or my shrub, or whatever. Now I can kill him. I just wonder. I don't know the benefit. Why we singled arson out and
arson was singled out 6 because 6 related to force and person. Use of force to defend the premises. How clear it was where arson was a serious enough danger you could use deadly force.
I know, but don't explain the reason, as I understand it, because arson can't relate to people. We didn't want to put the state or somebody who
was. Well, of course, we felt arson was one of the serious felonies where the argument might be raised, too, Wally, that it wasn't a felony involving force and violence. We've allowed deadly force to be used to prevent that kind of a felony, but we wanted to make sure we picked up arson, even though there might be that kind of an argument raised, that this was not a forcible felony.
Well, isn't the answer part of Wally's question to the definition of premises, which is premises that basically dwellings or places where there's bound to be people in?
Yeah, but we've also included real property.
Well, I'm glad, but we haven't gotten to the tree. Yeah. I think it's wrong to have it.
Well, now, before we get to that, we had some mandatory language here that everybody seemed to agree with.
That you, the
be...
Read it again.
What?
Prevent the trespasser from committing a crime of arson or attempting to
steal. Prevent the trespasser from committing or attempting to commit arson.
Well, I was going to move to amend that just to say, well, you need to believe it's necessary to prevent arson.
Oh, yeah. Because trespassers,
because all that is incorporated by subsection 1.
You know, there might be some argument of whether it is or what it is today.
Well, my motion, which is the main word, was to cover both the commission or the attempt to commit arson, get the double barrel possibility of conduct.
That's very important to read. What he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent the commission of arson.
No, trespassers from committing or attempting to commit arson.
I thought the city commission of arson committed to attempt to.
One or the other, you don't need both.
Can't come in and help and call it right, doesn't it?
Well, why don't you need both?
Because you prevent the attempt and thereby prevent the doing of it and vice versa.
Commission of arson is setting a fire. An attempt to commit arson would be, as these five crimes that you would essentially, it would be any substantial step toward the commission of the forbidden act, whatever it is.
It doesn't prevent, you have to use prevent, but it doesn't prevent, I agree with, in other words, it's not a vice versa thing. Prevent commission does get at what you're talking about, whereas to prevent an attempt does not get at
it. If you prevent commission,
you also are preventing the attempt, are you not?
If you prevent commission, you're preventing yourself. That's the key, is the prevention. Because suppose you have the case where you know, this guy is here to commit an arson. He hasn't even taken any step towards it.
Attempting by the trespasser.
You know darn well that's what he's up to.
By the trespasser. Chairman, I reword my motion.
Okay, Judge.
When he reasonably believes it necessary,
well, I'm supposing to do it without
the arson by the trespasser.
When he reasonably believes it necessary to prevent the commission of arson by the trespasser.
Correct.
That is the motion. You're ready for the question. All in favor of Judge Burns' motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carry. Any other motions with respect to 2B? Wally.
Bruce will bring this up. Is it redundant to have trespasser? In other words, Section 2 sets as its premise the facts of Section 1.
That's what Lee. Yeah.
Okay. Lee and Bruce are talking about. Lee says, is it redundant? Bruce says he doesn't think so. I'd like to hear a little discussion.
Well, I don't say that it isn't redundant, but I say that I'm
appropriate.
I'm sure what you're talking about.
Subsection 3 is kind of how you use the words. Well, I certainly don't want the words in any real property on the arson situation. I don't know, maybe does arson apply to burning a field?
We've got
under arson, we've got protected property and other property, and of course we've got first degree arson. And the discussion subcommittee was we wouldn't try to limit this to first degree arson. But that might be one way of getting at it, rather than taking out real property for this reason, that I think you want to allow for the use of reasonable force against the trespasser to real property that does not necessarily involve a dwelling. Trespass to land, for example, where the owner or occupant should be entitled to use reasonable force against the trespasser. So, we want to be careful, I think, about taking real property out of there, because in so doing, we would...
All right, I'll make a motion for this.
Yeah, but how about, the kids at Halloween burning the apple? You would kill them for that?
Well, let me see if I can't do it. amend
subsection.
Well,
wait a minute.
I would amend subsection 3 to be as follows. The word section would be would change to subsection 1. The word section would be changed to be subsection 1. And we would add the sentence as we do subsection 2, premises include any building is defined in the article 1, period.
So that you would live, so that you would permit deadly physical force only in the building. All right. That satisfies your objection, I think, Wally, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure that would, because 2A provides what does that do to 2A?
Well, 2A, you don't really need it, do you?
2A, you don't need it.
The person may be permitted.
Well, I would object to Mr. Johnson's motion because of the limit, so I got a vote party not warrant and go fish on and spend the night and then got in which to get mad because I don't have a big party to waste everybody real sleep and go check fire to it. So everybody's vote by it's not really no way to stop doing it.
Well, that wouldn't help you because all this is referring to a real property.
No, premises, any building could define an article. So, yeah. So it includes boats.
Well, but I haven't changed that.
He hasn't changed that.
I haven't changed
the real property part.
I'm just taking the real property.
You're not going to be able to use, in other words,
right.
He wants to undo what Bruce did in the Sproul case.
Because Bill,
that was
Bill
the whole, you know, we
find that
he spent a great deal of time on the judge's instruction in the Sproul case.
Is building approved under the 96 only where after sleep places down after the building?
Tools here.
I don't think people have the right.
Customarily.
Oh,
no, it doesn't.
It does not make that distinction.
Well, yes, you
no, it does make that.
It makes that distinction.
What would you think of this? Now, although we rejected this idea in the subcommittee about the kind of property, the kind of arson, now, what would you think of under 2B, when we're talking about the commission of arson, limited to arson in the first degree, which is arson that involves protected property, which we've defined in our arson draft as meaning any structure, place, or thing customarily occupied by people, including public buildings and forest land. So the only land you take in there would be your forests, which you've already decided that was sufficient to put in first degree arson.
Yeah, but over in fine country, but
well, we have, I think, Lee's motion in front of the commission. Unless you want to withdraw it, will you restate it?
Or the property.
The motion, in effect, was the limit. I suppose I will put it this way. We will change the word section as used in subsections 1 and 2A. Here, premises include any building that's defined in Article blank in real property.
Period.
Period. As used in section 2B, premises include any building that's defined in Article client to trigger. Maybe a shorthand way to say that.
That you're limiting the use of deadly physical force insofar as the prevention of arson is concerned only to dwellings, buildings where people are.
We've got a consistency between that arson section. That's that. You, as your actor, was to say, you need to be now and then, take a page 20 of you for the reason necessary to prevent the commission of arson.
No, that was my suggestion, but I think then you permit the use of deadly physical force for to prevent somebody from starting a forest fire.
Yeah.
And it's really not an inconsistency, Bob, because when we're talking about first degree arson, we're talking about the proscription or the penalty that's attached to it. Here we're talking about a preventative measure. All right, are you ready for a question on the Attorney General's motion? Okay, all in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. Chairman, before we get away from the discussion, I want to get back to one, if I may, to the problem with Bruce raised, and that is, I do not believe that we adequately take care of the problem, thinking of the problem, as to the amount of force that can be used to prevent the commission of arson by someone who is not a trespasser. And I don't know whether Bruce brought that up and we kind of got away from it. I still think it's a problem because
I think it's covered in the commission of crime provisions. I don't think this is the only case where you want to really allow deadly force.
The question is, if there are instances in which I suppose the policy question, are there instances in which you want to allow deadly force to prevent arson by a non-trespasser? I wonder if in a civil case, trespass and putting anything on somebody else's property, the commission has a statute. Could you come in arson without me doing that kind of thing? You had to cause something to go under the premises to.
Yeah, we're talking about criminal offense, not that we're trying to do anything.
Yeah?
Well, let me pass to the hobby because the problem is maybe a trespasser, but you, the one with the actor, is not in the occupation of the property, which is another problem.
Is arson a felony involving force or violence?
Yes. Well, I think it is, but it's questionable.
We were told this morning it was not.
Well, that's why it's put in here.
We felt that there would be an argument.
I think if it is
felony involving force or violence, why the neighbor, the person who's not in control, is protected under six. Section 6, my justification
under. Of course, if you're protected under section 6, we don't need
to be here.
82B and all.
That's right. But
I think arson can be given without use of force or violence. Put a cigarette in your matchbox and you're going to lay it down and go on away in 20 minutes or try to fight.
But I think you would really, I don't know, it just seems to me like you're kind of a deadly physical force. Got a limit for that can be used.
I think it's a certain appropriate question that's been well raised, but I answer that to myself. I don't think that much of a devastating thing which has been used by anyone except the way information that people like that.
Let's get an unfortunate situation where I'm living in a small home next door to my parents. I had to cross the road here, the guy set fire to my parents' house. I know they're in. I'd have more reason to shoot that guy than I would have my son set in right mind.
Yeah, but where you're really going to have this situation arise, the big city riot situation. Seems to me that it just opened up and everybody can start shooting at everyone.
You better go and put the fire on instead of shooting. Second, what do you mean?
pain.
Well, I don't think so. Oh, no.
I'm just going to have to prove that it was commissioner or attempted commissioner.
Oh,
I didn't believe that.
Reasonably done, he does what is reasonably necessary for the commissioner, for the attempted commissioner.
Yeah, but suppose that the other guy can prove that it wasn't.
Well, I use the
yeah, but what he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent the crime, a crime.
But
if the crime doesn't occur, it doesn't make any difference.
What he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent what he reasonably believes to be a crime.
The first reason. Necessary of the board.
My reasoning there was the same as it was in Section 8, which you changed. So, in order to be consistent, I suppose you want to change this one too. But I think you're talking about two different beliefs. One, the reasonable belief of that goes to the amount of force used, and secondly, what he believed about the.
It isn't just the amount, you have the word when.
Mm-hmm.
You say that necessary to prevent or terminate. Doing what he thinks is necessary to prevent commission of a crime.
Yeah. Or what he thinks is a crime. This is
not. But if that, he does what he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent the commission of a crime.
Yeah, but suppose it isn't a crime. Well, he just thinks it's a crime. It isn't really a crime.
He reasonably believed that it was necessary to prevent the commission of a crime, even though the crime was not already attempted commission, even though it wasn't committed or attempted.
Well, the line is clearly wrong.
We do have a motion. And the motion is to believe that the second. What he reasonably believes to be, right here. The word what he reasonably believes to be. I think we do it on a roll call.
This is the usual group?
Yes. Those in favor of Ben Burns' motion to believe, signify by saying aye or nay.
Aye. Chen. Haas. Durston. Johnson.
Aye.
Knight. Spaulding.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Okay.
There went the chairman of the subcommittee.
Former chairman of the subcommittee.
You're going to have election here right after the
any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, in view of our earlier discussion, which I think John Collette said that it was section was, where you use the term physical force, it's not necessary to then distinguish it from deadly force. Do we really need the words other than deadly force in this section?
Well, no, I don't think I said that. At least I didn't mean to say that. I think there are places, in fact, going back to that one section we amended, with respect to children, I think you need certain places to say other than deadly physical force. I think this is one of them. I think you want to make it perfectly clear that you're not going to let somebody use deadly force to commit a simple theft of property or something like that. I think that where we use physical force, which could include deadly force, but we don't want to include deadly force, we should say so. I'm just one of the questions.
Do you want to go back and add the children?
Nope.
No.
Are there any other questions at about 9? If not,
we'll wait for 9.
There's a motion that we approve 9 as amended. All in favor, signify by saying aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Dobbs.
Aye.
Tom.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Paul.
Aye.
All right, the next five sections, sections 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, all relate to use of force in making an arrest or preventing an escape. And section 10 deals with peace officers making an arrest or preventing an escape, and permits him to use physical force. Section 11 limits the use of deadly physical force in making an arrest under the provision of 10. And there he's allowed to do it to defend himself or a third person from deadly physical force, or to make an arrest or prevent the escape from custody when he reasonably believes has committed or attempted to commit a felony involving force or violence. And then two is in there to make it clear that this is not going to exempt a negligent or reckless police officer who injures some innocent person in the process.
How do we have a lesson to do that?
Commentary speaks in terms of the lawfulness of the arrest. So.
Okay, well, I'd so move that we substitute well, let me ask this to Don, put it deep. In the sense of things, better to say the arrest is not lawful or the arrest is unlawful.
Unless he knows.
I can bring it back to the
unlawful.
For
God's sake, it's unlawful. Make a decision.
All right, unlawful.
Unlawful. I so move.
All right. Everything in Carson, no move.
Good.
Any further discussion? All right, restate your motion, Wally, so that I understand it.
On section 10, paragraph 1, the middle line, the second line, the last word, substitute the legal word unauthorized, substitute the word unlawful.
Before we vote on it, is there any reason, Wally, why you would distinguish between 1 and 2 in this regard? In other words, if the officer knows the arrest is unlawful, then he can't use physical force in order to make the arrest. Now, what if subsection 2 arrest he also knows to be unlawful? I don't know. It occurs to me that maybe the visor ought to be in both sections.
I don't think so. I think you're taking away your right of self-defense.
Well,
I know he still does that.
In other words, if he knows the arrest is unlawful, he goes up and tries to arrest him. Does he then have the right to force to defend his escape? Or to
prevent his escape? Yeah, but it's right back to what you're saying. The same suit, unless he knows that it's unlawful, because you can't put lawful in front of arrest, you have the same problem. You very carefully make the rule one, so you have to take the same phrase. Definitely make an arrest unless he knows the arrest is unlawful.
Yeah, I don't. In other words, it may be that you want to put the proviso in both sections. I don't know.
Well, I felt the difference was that in one you're talking about self-defense or defense of another person, whereas under sub one that element.
Well, right. Let's suppose we have this situation. Though he knows he's making an unlawful arrest. Goes up the guy and the defendant knows he's making an unlawful arrest and resists him, pushes him, shoves him. The law officer then really is somebody who's picked a fight, the aggressor on the self-defense, he started it. And now he wants to, you have all the props. You're the aggressor. The law officer came up and said, I'm going to arrest you and grab him over here, push him down, whatever the case may be. If he can say that he was making an arrest, that he can sneak around the question of provocation.
And how about the third person situation? Go there, the guy is doing the time for the third person.
He's doing this. I'm going down for a third person.
I think what it points out is that the question, by raising the specter of the law, a law officer making an invalid arrest, knowingly making an invalid arrest, raises the question. I think the judge is correct, but you either ought to raise each time or not raise at all. Here again, our law officer is the attorney, so I don't think sheriffs and police officers might not have any arrests if they know they're invalid, but I could be wrong.
What do you say that would make a lot to the later
turnout? Yeah, if they don't make a lot, they know.
Well,
I'm not adding that you know or had good reason to believe.
We all know that you were strangely silent this whole area, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
Well, but your big city riot, this kind of deal.
Well, yeah, take a Black Panther bit going on right now. Going to make an arrest that's obviously invalid. The officer knows it's invalid. And a black attempts to resist him, so he just beats the Jesus out of him. And he's got the perfect defense. Defend himself from wanting to leave, reason to leave. And he knows from the outset that the whole arrest is a phony that's trumped up and knows
that. How does he know that? He's got instructions from the chief of police and the sheriff. There are 17 guys along with him. They got a warrant. This, that, the other thing. How is an individual officer supposed to determine in his own background?
I wasn't citing either Chicago or San Francisco. I'm saying an officer's got a thing on his quad or his flag. So he doesn't need a bench warrant for that thing. What do you say?
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, in the way this section is read, we're basically taken away from the peace officer the same rights that every other citizen has, and apply the special statute. It seems to me this section should remain clear that these are rights he has in the performance of his duties. He still should have the right to protect himself the same as any other citizen.
How would you rectify that?
Well, I suppose a peace officer in the performance of his duty.
Making an arrest in the performance of his duty?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the point is, when you raise this question about this law, because I think this standard, unless he knows the arrest is lawful, should apply, but he still should have the same rights to defend himself. The guy he's trying to arrest, and you know, an invalid arrest, starts to use deadly force, excessive force on him, he should have a right.
Well, I think he would.
Well, he can under two.
Well, not if you put the qualification on it, though. That's what I'm getting at, because you said here, except as provided in Section 11 of so, this article, a peace officer justifies using force upon another only when. The question I have you taken away from the peace officer the standard rights of self-defense that everybody else has?
Well, let me compound it further, Mr. Chairman. Representative Frost, who just returned to the meeting, pointed out to me that Section 15 deprives all the rest of us poor guys from resisting arrest, no matter whether it's lawful or unlawful. If the guy's got a badge, he's got to go down on the knees. So I think perhaps we ought to resolve Section 15, because it then deprives me of my strongest argument. We really doesn't make any difference. You have no right to resist arrest, whether the arrest is valid, invalid, constitutional, or unconstitutional.
You can't use physical force to resist the arrest under 15.
Well, yeah, you can talk on
it. Right. Or you can walk away.
Only the point is not a proposition.
Well, now, before I let it get out of hand.
Any further?
You're asking me to leave, huh?
No, may I inquire of you if you still want me to put your motion to a vote?
Now, I'm giving my back to the wall, and I'll answer. Yeah, I think so. The unauthorized, we may want to kick it all out, but I think unlawful is a better choice of word than unauthorized.
All right, well, then while I move to substitute unlawful for unauthorized in sub 1, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's carried now. Lee, did you have a motion?
Add the subsection 2. I'm not sure this is the way to go about this. You could add subsection 2 to the strike period after you unless you know that the doctor is lawful.
It's unlawful.
It's unlawful. And then I would also insert line 3 of section 10 the performance and the duty of the police.
Alright. You're just, the first part of that motion is just running that together. Strike the period and say unless he...
No. The first part of the motion is to add this
caveat that we have in subsection 1 to subsection 2 also.
Yeah, but you're doing that by striking the period in the sub
right.
2 and saying unless he knows that the arrest is unlawful, period.
Well, between the words escape and period, insert the words unless he knows the arrest is unlawful.
All right.
Would you put that as a single motion and then put your...
All right.
I don't understand that.
All right, Mr. Johnson has moved that we insert the words unless he knows that the arrest is unlawful between escape and the period of sub 2.
Well,
this is what I'm getting at. This is why I wanted to add that additional language as well. If the officer is making an arrest, which he knows is unlawful, then he shouldn't be able to rely on the protections of Section 10. That's what I'm really trying to get at. In other words, Section 10 should then have no
right
of
defense.
What?
Right
no,
defense.
No. He should lose all rights he has under Section 10. But he would still have the rights that would exist to anyone, any other citizen under Section 6,
it's okay.
7 and 8.
Unless he knows that the arrest was unlawful, does it add up to a double negative or something?
Well, I think really the way this section has got to be redrafted, I think this is a very poor way. I think it ought to be redrafted and insert in the first part before you get to the two subsections. Is a police officer, while making or attempting to make an arrest, is justified using physical force upon the attempting to make an arrest.
What you could do, Mr. Chairman, is to say, except as provided in Section 11, this article B, unless he knows the arrest is unlawful, and so on and so forth.
Wait a minute. How about doing this? You strike unless he knows the arrest is unauthorized in both 1 and 2, and you add a subsection 3 and say that Section 10 does not apply in the case where he knows that the arrest is unlawful. That would do it.
Well,
then that. What?
Get that through the Senate if you put that in the light.
Put that in the commentary in your bed.
Well,
I agree, John.
Well, my point, and I may be wrong on this, but Section 10 gives you a peace officer justification that doesn't exist for non citizens. And you should have that protection. You obviously should have this defense. But we shouldn't have it. I'll state my motion.
All right.
I would move that we strike in subsection 1 and 2 the words unless he knows the arrest is unlawful, and add subsection 3, which would state that this section
or words to the effect, this section is inapplicable. Officer knows the arrest is unlawful. All right, you've heard the motion, and I'm assuming that you're granting a sufficient amount of flexibility with the staff to get as close to the size of the plan as possible. All in favor of Mr. Johnson's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. As a further discussion with respect to the section,
this member, Mr. Bond says, on the last session, Judge Burns said maybe we ought to remove from that, other than deadly physical force, and the defendant keeping it in there very strongly to make sure that there's no mistake. And notice in the prior section we don't do that. We didn't do it in this section.
Well, we don't do it in this section because we talk about it in section 11. Use of deadly physical force to make an arrest. See, if this goes back, see, 11 then goes on to limit 10. We refer back to section 10 and section 11.
Just as long as everybody, you're satisfied and there are no circumstances where section 10 authorized deadly physical force.
Right, because we also say in section 10, except as provided in section 11. So it'll be approved section 10.
That reads your very alright. Mr. Chandler moves that we approve section 10 of the amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Limits the use of deadly physical force by the police officer who's acting under section 10, making an arrest, etc. To use deadly force only when he reasonably believes that it's necessary to defend himself or a third person. When he, there again, I've used reasonably believes to be the use of imminent use of deadly physical force or to make an arrest or prevent the escape of a person whom he reasonably believes has committed or attempted and a felony involving force or violence. Subsection 2, nothing in paragraph B or subsection 1 of this section constitutes justification for reckless or criminally negligent conduct when a peace officer amounted to an offense against or with respect to innocent persons who did not seek to arrest or detain the testimony.
Johnson's motion number 96 states limit the peace officer's ability to defend himself by a third person's way of using the police to use and abuse of deadly physical force. Regardless of whether the arrest was illegal or not?
Well,
I suggest you move all of our discussion if we first look at my last motion to limit section 12.
Well, of course, yeah, the officer isn't always going to really know that, and we have a section here that sets out the basis for his belief in the action case. I think I talked about that in my commentary someplace, about the standard that's imposed upon, yeah, on page 35, I think, it requires the officer to know the legal rules which affect his right to interfere with the citizen, and to know the legal gravity of conduct he encounters. For example, his belief of violation of the basic rule is a felony, and that he can arrest a person for such an offense committed outside his presence but not constitute acceptable to the statement of the officer. I think you could say also that he felt that the violation of the basic rule was a felony involving force or violence, and used deadly physical force to make the arrest. He wouldn't have an investigation.
I'll give you an example. I had to run across that along the office. What in effect was an arrest for a traffic violation, but nothing to do with that light. You know, speed up a big cleaner out of the street. Both parties were rather shaken up when it was all done. The car had chasing him off the road one day. The guy got out, and the officer could see a, what appeared to be a pistol sitting there in the car. And when he stepped out of the car, the officer was concerned about it. The guy was there wasn't any crime involving force of violence.
No, it wouldn't be a force of violence, but then you get into the question of self-defense. If the officer felt there was deadly physical force about to be used against him, then it would. Yeah, you have a right to protect himself. But this, I don't think this article would prevent the pursuit by the officer against the lawbreaker, you know, traffic command or something like that. And your question was, is that?
Could he have taken a shot at one car to stop the car?
Well,
it was a rather practical problem.
Yeah, it is, and I don't. I think the argument you have to make is that taking a shot at the car amounted to the use of deadly physical force against the occupant of the car. And if you agree that that's the case, then he would not be justified in doing that because the guy wouldn't be committing a forcible felony.
And if he had killed him in the car, he himself had lost his identification, probably
I think so.
Police officer.
We're not talking about civil.
Yeah, we're talking about civil.
this will be thrown in there. It should be.
We still have rules to govern civil liability.
We're setting up the rules when a police officer can use deadly force, and he exceeds what he has authority of law to do.
Now, we've looked to the criminal law.
Well, something that Madison's per se, and therefore a crime of action is a violation of the criminal defense. We can. I mean, the criminal statutes define conduct which, because of this other thing, becomes negligence per se for having violated that criminal statute. Isn't that right?
I recall a line of cases that say that the statute of different securities don't say that it's a civil cause of action, even though it's in terms of criminal statute, securities fraud cases and so on. But I don't recall that you just say that you look to the criminal statute and if you don't find it there, then you have a civil cause of action. In other words, what you're saying is if the conduct isn't apparently justified,
then it's criminal.
Then it's criminal, and therefore it'd be negative per se on the basis of a successful civil action. What you're saying?
Yeah.
Unless under the arrest statute, we say that the officer used whatever force is necessary and deadly force to arrest for felony. And then have a different thing here in justification. You said otherwise, we're setting up the standards for the police officers that we use in making an arrest. We're setting them up here.
Of course, I do think
rather than under the arrest.
In some of the false arrest cases, at least they do refer to the criminal section.
I think I've got all of the existing statutes here.
Let's
set out here in the draft. Yeah, starting at page 4 of the arrest statutes, page 4 of the draft.
Well, Brian, do you really think it's a problem?
Alright.
You don't have a, do you have an inventory in your motion?
Move to strike the period after felony.
Oh, after felony?
Now that's going to allow the peace officer to kill somebody to prevent any felony.
Watching from the store, and you want to kill a shoplifter? Taking a new and more vehicle without property, you want to kill my store? You want to kill a check artist? All kinds of felons. How about a guy that's possessing marijuana? You want to kill him because he runs from you and went over to the park?
Bang.
I'm disturbed with the words involving force of violence.
Do you want to vote on looking at the county's motion or do you want to
I might vote no.
Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I
don't
know.
I
had
a whole slug of guys who were on
there. All right.
Until it folded with us.
Bottom of your boat.
Chairman, I make a motion that we instruct the staff to bring us back to this. To try to define what felonies involved in force of violence.
All right, well,
you're referring to something in commentary.
No, I think it's in the definition section, or maybe we can do it the way Jim suggested to get the sentence to the all Class A felonies to come back to it. But not think it's a sufficient definition.
Well, what I'm trying to get away from, of course, is keep coming back. Back to back and get the preliminary draft number 3 on justification.
Carol asked us, Don, to put an asterisk by this, as we have on some other sections that we have to tie up. But if you approve section 11, there's a motion to that effect. If you approve it, it will go in tentative draft number 1, and we'll come back to the asterisk and start going over the tentative draft.
I think we might be able to solve that when we classified our felonies.
Yeah. Make a note of that. Is there any other discussion with respect to section 11?
As an amendment.
Again, there's a motion to approve section 11 as other than all in favor say aye as your name is called and no opposed. Close to close.
So. Green.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark. Frost.
Aye.
Hawes.
Aye.
James.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
No.
Spalding.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Section 12, I hope that we could get finished by 4.
Well, Section 12 really imposes a fairly high standard on the officer to know what he's doing and know what the rules and laws are that affect his actions. And that's under Sub 1. And then Sub 2 relates to arrest made under a warrant. It states that he's justified in using physical force that we talked about in sections 10 and 11, unless the warrant is invalid and he knows that it's invalid. So a warrant that's good on its face, he could act without peril.
Let me ask you this.
This is duplicatory in part of the mandatory language in 10 put in.
No, except that this, we're talking about arrest under warrant.
However,
if I was straightforward, I could just use this language to tell it much.
In other words, I see what you're getting at in your commentary. You point this out that. The reason for the language in 12 sub 2 is because he can rely on a warrant. He can't rely upon an egregious apprehension of a given situation to shoot a guy from jaywalking. But the 10, at least in terms, would apply to both warrantless arrests as well as arrests with
yeah.
a warrant.
Yeah.
And to the extent that unlawful might somehow be considered to be different than invalid and the length and 12 to be inconsistent, it seems to me rather hard on like one or the other. Care really what you do.
No, but
to the extent that we've made he knows it's unlawful, takes him out of 10 and
apply it to both warrantless and warrants arrest, then we don't need 1272.
Now, one thing that if we adopt this section, that when this new code goes into effect, every police officer better, by gosh, go on vacation and sit down and study until he knows this law before he goes out and starts making any arrests. But, I mean, he may believe that it's an offense.
How about putting it in context, then you have before he starts killing for a violation of it?
We're not talking here just about killing. We're talking about the force of touching and taking the person into custody. We're talking about that, too, you see.
They're not proving it's not good. They're going to be just shooting harem scarum at everybody, every shadow. Walks down the streets and they're outside about it. But this doesn't apply to the deadly force. It applies to the force that they can be
attacked. Is there any ambiguity or any difficulty in comprehending what's set forth here? I mean, what's the problem with it?
Back here in section 10, he said that if the officer knows it to be unlawful. Alright. And then here in 12, this is in conflict, and that doesn't make any difference whether he knew it or not.
It sure makes a difference if he knows it. If he knows it's unlawful, yes.
But knowing it's unlawful, and reasonably believing facts and circumstances
which
is not a law constituted offense is, like you said, a much higher degree.
John, how do you struck subsection 1 and your next section 2? Struck into the word under a warrant, carried the other word for arrest, unless the arrest is unlawful, number the officer being unlawful. If you're still basically applying the same standard anyway, you section 10, using physical force upon another person only if no one can attempt to even believe it's necessary to make an arrest.
Unless he knows the arrest to be unlawful.
I don't see that basic rule.
It would remove the ambiguity, wouldn't it? If you deleted one, huh?
No, the basic rule illustration was to apply under sub 1. That's why that's not there in the commentary. That's what you're referring to.
The sub 1 of what?
You mentioned the basic rule. My illustration in the commentary about the basic rule was to illustrate sub 1, not the warrant situation.
Well, I know, but
all right,
my suggestion is that my suggestion would be that we eliminate that subsection 3 that I originally proposed, which is section 10.
Well, I never got in, did it?
What? Yeah. And then we amend subsection 2 of 12 and have it read, a peace officer who is making an arrest is justified in using the physical force prescribed in sections 10 and 11 of this article unless the arrest is unlawful and is known by the officer to be unlawful. That strikes it, so it's actually one on top of it. Right here.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, is there any discussion of this motion? Question. All right. Mr. Johnson has moved, and Lee, do once more for my benefit.
Maybe the question, but I'll state the whole thing and someone else will divide it. It is that we delete subsection 3 to section 10, previously adopted. We also delete subsection 1 and section 12. And And then subsection 2, if you change to read, you can strike the words under a warrant. So it would read, a peace officer is making an arrest, is justified in using physical force prescribed in sections 10 and 11 of this article, unless the arrest is unlawful and is known by the officer to be unlawful.
All right. Now, that's clear enough. You want to vote on it all on one motion?
Can I speak to number one, sub one, first?
All right.
Solo, because maybe we don't understand what we're getting at.
Well, I think maybe the sub one part of it ought to be divided.
Well, so I'll leave that on.
All right, then he's going to move, he's moving to delete. Moving to delete sub 3 of section 10 and amending sub 2 of section 12 by striking the words under a warrant and substituting unlawful for invalid where it appears in the last two lines. Now all in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. All right. That motion is carried. You still have the floor. Okay, now Don, you want to speak to that?
Well, all I wanted to point out was that, the reason this was in here was, in effect, to say that, number one, that the police officer is expected to know his job, which is a new reason. And secondly, that if he uses force to arrest for an offense that doesn't exist in law, then he's not going to be protected by justification of it. Imposes a higher standard on him, I suppose, than imposed on other persons, but it seems to me that the situations that call upon the use of force are much more common to a peace officer, and that imposing this is not unreasonable, and the fact that, that if this new code is enacted into law, that the police officer is going to have to study it. I don't, before they start making arrests, I don't think it's a valid objection. They can certainly hope that they know the law that exists on the books now before they go out and arrest people. That's the only thing I want to say about that. I don't think this imposes any big hardship on the peace officer.
Not bound over the preliminary hearing, and it's assault and battery is a force involved or automatic.
Under this?
That isn't what this thing says.
That isn't what it says, right?
I'm not really sure what I read in.
Well, it says, look, if he's got a reasonable belief in facts or circumstances, which if true would a law constitute offense, then he's okay. Now, he sees a guy, say, steal a car and the elements, he reasonably believes the factual elements of theft of the model are present. And if those facts were true in law, they would amount to that offense. He's okay.
He's okay there.
Now, if on the other hand, he reasonably believes facts are true, but together they don't add up, and couldn't add up to a crime, then he's not protected.
When he isn't presently.
Wait a minute, I'm not quite sure right.
This, it says that the believed facts or circumstances would not at all constitute an offense. An erroneous, though not unreasonable belief that the law is otherwise, that it did constitute an offense, does not render justifiable the use of force to make an arrest to commit the escape of the custody. I think that's a pretty high standard to put on a police officer.
It's a standard to put on a private citizen.
It was the law of no offense.
Well,
ready for the motion? The motion is to strike section subwater tire. And I think I'll have a roll call on it. Those in favor, let the motion strike the aye.
Jeffrey?
No.
Brock?
No.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
This means that the officer has a reasonable belief that the man has committed a crime, and it turns out he hasn't.
Education plus 3 years of law school, I said. Such force, Sims takes his brother-in-law along and tells him to shoot his boyfriend.
Well, what it means is if a private citizen, if you make a mistake of law, that's all right. Police
officer.
Well, the law requires him to obey the police officer.
I don't have any objection.
Well, it's a different standard, sure. It seems to me it should be a different standard, shouldn't it?
It's a different standard when you go into court. You always believe the police officer.
No, I'm not objecting. And then I think we ought to look at 14 in conjunction with it, because it talks about what the person could do when he's not assisting an officer, but he's making what is a common order to citizens.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what it happens to be the case. Sounds like some chance business.
Well, because there might be instances where, if it is unauthorized, if it's unauthorized for the peace officer to use, he may be authorized to use it.
Yeah. Okay, so no problem.
So if he's if the peace officer is authorized to use it, he directs the other guy to do it, it's okay.
But if he isn't authorized to do it himself, he tells the other guy to do it.
It's still okay.
The other guy is okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about the other guy. So in both cases, one hand is A and the other hand is A.
The director authorized by the peace officer to use deadly physical force and does not know that the peace officer himself is not authorized to use deadly physical force.
Whether or not the peace officer is authorized.
Whether or not you know.
Yeah, whether or not you know.